Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe, and in today's episode, I have a word of judgment. It's a hard word, but it's a necessary word that the Lord gave me for this season, for this hour. And the word comes at a time where God is readying his people for the greatest battles we've ever seen on this earth. He wants us to prepare the way for the Lord's return. So he would like to have everybody in their place, in their positions, strong enough at their top performance to be able to do what is necessary to prepare for the Lord. Now, the reason I say this is a hard word, because I've had to speak this word to several people personally, and I had not planned on speaking it publicly until the Lord reminded me this morning with a scripture, and he says, put this out, because it is a condition that's plaguing the body of Christ and something that needs to be addressed, because a lot of people are suffering, a lot of people are in pain physically, a lot of people are even dying, and the reason they are is because they're not rightfully discerning the Lord's body, and that's going to be our topic for today. Now, when the Lord gave this to me, he took me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And most of us who take communion in church are familiar with these passages. But I'm going to take a little twist on this. I'll show you what the Lord showed me, what he spoke to me about this passage. And we'll begin 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start at verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which was also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Most of us have heard this spoken right before we take communion on communion Sundays, but the Lord brought to my attention the passages that follow, beginning in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And that's the message that I really want to leave with you today. This is a word of judgment, but it's so that you can make it into the kingdom and stay within the kingdom and not be condemned with the world. If you look at the passages before verse 23, before he starts talking about the body and the communion, he talks about how they come together for the wrong reason. That even when they congregate for division. They congregate for factions and heresies. And it's not the reason they were supposed to be coming into the congregation, period. Anybody in the church knows there's always divisions. There are always fights within the church. But we see it as normal. But what the Lord wants us to see is when we're fighting, it's fighting within the body. It means we're not discerning one another as brother and sister in Christ. We're not realizing we are all partakers of the same communion in the same body. So when we are fighting with each other, we're disrespecting the body. And I want to focus on that. Whether you're a husband and wife fighting, if you're children and parents fighting, if you are body in the body of Christ, you are fighting with your brother. If you are fighting with your brother in the body, you are not discerning the body of the Lord. You're treating them as if they're just another person, or they're just your wife or your child. The way God looks at it, they belong to him first, and you have to respect them like they are our brother or sister in the Lord, even if it's your own child. Once that child receives Jesus Christ, he or she is in the body. He is no longer your child to be treated like a child, but he's your child to be trained as another member of the body of Christ. So he comes to a level spiritually that is more than just a child. So whatever you do to either that child or even a spouse, God will judge you if you don't rightly discern their position in the body. And this is something we have difficulty with in the church, because we think we're in the church, we can say and do whatever we want to anybody anytime we want. People even cut down their pastors. And it's very dangerous, because he's ordained to be your leader. And the word is clear. We pray for those in authority. You don't cut them down. You don't chastise a leader. You don't threaten a leader. We have to pray for those in authority. I mean, God has honor. He has honor within his ranks, and he wants his people to honor him, honor each other, and honor his body as it functions as a whole in the church. And I know people are fighting all the time. We take this as normal, but it's not normal. As a body, we have not achieved what God has wanted us to achieve, because there's so much infighting. There's factions, there are divisions that should not be there. And it can be prevented if we would just listen to God, obey God, rather than following in our flesh and our emotions and our feelings, what we want. What does God want? Jesus is the head of the church. The pastor is the head of the body of believers. But as the pastor has to follow God through Jesus Christ as being the head. So we're all being led by someone if we are in the body and if we're being obedient to the Lord. But for most of us, we see the church as a club, something we can come in and we have a say of how things are done. But when God appoints a leader, whether it's over a family, over a church, we have to respect them as a leader. And I know we had quite a few complaints over this last election in 2012. People in the body of Christ, leaders in the body of Christ, publicly speaking against the president. I mean, that's the epitome of ignorance when it comes to discerning the body. The man's position, even if he wasn't a believer, which he is, and he said he is, the fact that his position is ordained of God. So we're supposed to pray for those in authority. Not only are we fighting against his position, we're fighting against a brother in the Lord. We're causing damnation upon ourselves. And I remember back in the fall, if some of you have been following me here, you'll know that Wendy Alec from God TV got a strong word from the Lord concerning this matter. And she was calling all the pastors and leaders in America to repent, those around the world to repent for the things they have spoken against President Obama. And she had a prophecy of who he was in Christ. It was a glowing prophecy about who God chose him to be. And yet the same people who are supposed to be leaders over our churches were cursing the man. But what they didn't know is they were speaking damnation to themselves for talking about someone who's ordained. It's something that's done in the body and we take it as being acceptable, but it's not in the eyes of God acceptable. Instead, it's someone who does not discern the Lord's body. If you are truly connected to God, he will speak to you and he himself will correct you. But if you're not hearing from God and he's not correcting you and how you're treating one another, I would have you question whether or not you're even in the body to begin with. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, if you're hearing it, ignoring it, well, that's another issue. But if you cannot hear the voice, if you're not having some sort of quickening in your spirit that's telling you what you're doing is wrong when you're going against another leader, or going against a brother in Christ, you may not be in the body. So I can understand why you would not discern something that you're not part of. But the Lord brought this to my attention, that this is one of the areas we really, really do need to work on. One of the things he's had me praying for strongly has been not only for husbands and wives, but also family issues. You may have remembered earlier this year, I had a prophecy that I put on letstalkprophecy.com. And the Lord, it concerned my family, but the Lord had given me a videotape reference that I had seen several years prior about a pastor by the name of Daniel Ekochekwu, I think is his name. He's an African pastor who died and he was resurrected in one of Reinhard Bonnke's meetings in Africa. I had heard about the man resurrecting, but one day I just happened to be watching television, Christian television, and I heard his testimony, and what I heard shocked me. The man talked about how he died. He went to heaven. He saw all of these things. He went to hell. And when he was ready to leave, the Lord said, "No. This day, this is where, if you would stay here today, this is where you would belong." And the man was like, "I'm a pastor, I'm a leader, I do this, I do." And the Lord said, no, but you had a fight with your wife and you did not repent. And if you were to die and stay here today, this is where you would be. And the man was couldn't understand it. Was like, "Wait a minute, I'm a pastor." It wasn't the fact that he was a pastor. He talked about all the people he prayed for. The Lord said, "I never heard their prayers because you never repented for what you did to your wife." And it's a videotape when he talks about this. His wife, I guess, she felt guilty for what she did, and she immediately repented and started praying. He got in the car and took off. And he said at the moment he took off in the car, he was thinking what he could do to her to get back at her for what she did to him. And at that moment, while he was thinking that, he was killed in a car accident. Beloved, hear me. If you are fighting with a relative, with a spouse, with a child, and especially if you are in leadership, if you are ordained minister, ordained, or anyone who's anointed in the body, repent. That woman was his wife, but she was also a leader in a church, and she was also part of the body, but he did not discern her. He was thinking of some way to get back at her, end up getting killed. And I'll put a link to that testimony because it's a powerful testimony, but the Lord brought it back to me and talked to me about the subject. We need to know that Jesus is the one that we're here for. He's the one we focus on. He's the reason for everything that we do. And we may speak something with our mouths, but we have to have it in our heart. And so often we speak and in our heart we have hatred. In our heart we have heresies and divisions and skirmishes with one another. And because of it, many people are sick, many people are weak, and many people are dying. And in this case, he died because of what was in his heart. One of the things the Lord has had me praying specifically have been for mothers. Parents in general, but mothers who will not let their children go, who will not let their children obey God. If this is you, stop it. If you are praying your will upon your child instead of leaving it to God and praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this child's life, you, my dear, are guilty of witchcraft. Anytime we try to control and manipulate someone to fit our needs and ignore the needs of God and what God has called that child to do, we are guilty of witchcraft. And the word is very clear how God deals with witches. And I've seen so many women, powerful prayer warriors, even prophets who have this thing in their spirits where they won't let their children go. They won't let people go. And consequently, I've seen them lose their health. I've seen things happen to them. It's like, wait a minute, you're not discerning the Lord's body or the Lord's work in someone else's life. If you are a leader in a church, if you are someone who prays and who prophesies and who spends time with the Lord, you of all people have to have faith in God. You can't be manipulating people. Yeah, you may have a child that's wayward, but rather than manipulating them, why don't you speak the word over that child and just leave it alone? You can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can say, Lord, your hand is on him. I leave him to you, like Hannah had to do with Samuel. Let the child go. But to be manipulating, trying to get them to go there, try to get them to do this, try to get them to, don't do it. Leave it to God. You're not rightfully discerning the body. That child is saved. Let God deal with them. You pray, but don't manipulate. Because the Lord has shown me there's some people we're going to lose because they just will not let God be God. If Jesus is your Lord, let him lord over that child. Not you lord over him or her, but let God lord over them. Let Jesus be Lord in their lives. But Jesus is trying to get to them, but they can't because you're blocking the way. Get out of the way. Let God do what he has to do with that child. And don't pray your will, pray God's will. And some of you may have heard my testimony. I have to constantly deal with this with my family. One of the reasons the Lord separated from my mother, because every time God would call me somewhere, something would happen and she would get emotional. She would end up in the hospital. She would go through something. If you love me, you would stay here. The Lord told me one day, are you going to listen to her? Are you going to obey me? And when he separated me and took me to California, one thing he told me, he says, if you had not separated from your mother, I was going to have to let death take her. Because he says, never has she ever asked me my will. She doesn't care about my will. She wants you to do what she wants you to do. And he says, I'm not going to allow that because the call is on your life and you are trying to get there and she's blocking the way. And when he told me that I had to leave for my mom to live, I left. Now, my family still don't understand it. I mean, I have to even, since I'm back with my family, I still have to keep my distance because that manipulating, controlling, and gossiping, and and then if I don't say the right thing or don't do the right, then there's gossip. Then she gets on the phone and starts telling, I am a prophet of God. I'm right now like John the Baptist in the wilderness because I'm preparing a way the Lord has told me to prepare. I can't be caught up in mess. I can't be caught up in gossip. I can't be hearing stuff. I got to hear from God. This is my job. And God, his prophets are close to him. God, if you are a real prophet, God will separate you from everyone and put you in a wilderness, which is what he has done with me. But it's fine because I'm learning what I need to learn. I'm getting the word from him that I need to give without being interference from outside voices and spirits. So the word is clear. When God says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm, it's because he's telling people you have to honor those I have chosen, those who are anointed. And if they are a Christian, they are an anointed one of God, separated to him for his purpose, not for yours. Let them go. Touch not his anointed. Don't do them any harm by standing in the way of God's will for being done. And that's one of the things the Lord had me doing, is praying for a lot of people, because I know I know this deep in my spirit, we are about to lose a lot of people in the body of Christ. And the Lord said, for this one reason, not discerning the body of the Christ. We're not discerning the Lord's body. We want our way. We want what we want. But if you're in the body, we come not to do our will, but to do His will. We became new creatures. If you have truly been saved, you become a new creature to know. Isn't that what the scripture says? That we're to no longer serve what we want and live for ourselves, but to live for the one who died and resurrected for us. That's why we're here. So every day we have to lay our lives down. We have to be a living sacrifice. And a living sacrifice is hard because you see things, you want to get off that sacrifice, but you can't get off of that. You have to stay there, because when you stay there, you honor God. You have faith in God. You're proving to God, God, I'm in it. I'm in it because I know you're telling me the truth. I'm not going to control anything. I'm going to follow you. That's what He's asking for all of us to do in this hour. We are one body. We have to act like it. And it's a really hard message, because some of you read my book, The War Journal. The Lord made it very clear. The second journal was dedicated to the church and issues in the church. And how He described the body is that we had no head. Our members were in agreement that we could be and operate without a head. So the Lord is showing that as a group, and there are people who are following God, and it's hard for them. And they'll tell you, those who the pastors and leaders who are listening to God, it's hard because most of the body is going the opposite direction. So in this hour, if you're hearing from God and you're operating by the Spirit, you don't have too many friends. In fact, most of your enemies are coming from your church, maybe even from your own household. Didn't Jesus say it would be that way in the last days? A man's foes would be those of his own household. Brother against brother, mother and father putting children to death, and children having their parents put to death. That's where we are. What I'm trying to do, and the message the Lord gave me, is to prevent you from being victimized and put you in a position of being a victor. Listen to God. Obey God. We are put in earthly families, but the family that God considers the highest reverence, the highest honor, is the family of God, above even a family you're born in. You have to understand that. What did Jesus say when he was with his disciples? They said, your mother, your brothers are out here. What did Jesus say? Well, who's my mother, my brother? These, the ones who are with me, those who do the will of God, those are my brothers, those are my sisters. He's basically saying, my family don't get it. So until they do, they're outside of the circle of my family. And it's not that he's being hateful. He's just being focused on the kingdom. They're not kingdom-minded. So if they're not kingdom-minded, don't bring them into your family. Let them stay there. When they learn, they can come in. But what he was saying is, they're not my mother and brothers. Yeah, we're in the same house, but these are the ones. And that's how God looks at it. And I tell you, I can give you a personal story. What happened to me, when I'm talking from experience, because I have a son who's not with me. He was taken from me at a very young age. He was kidnapped by his father when he was 3. And I have not seen the child. And that's been almost, he's like 21 years old now. I have not seen him. We found him recently on Facebook. But I'll tell you what happened the day he was taken. It was told to me many years that I couldn't have a child. I kept having miscarriage after miscarriage. And what happened was, I wanted a child so bad that I asked the Lord. I said, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. And miraculously, my son came. I did what Hannah did. But soon after he was born, I forgot my promise to God. And so that child became an idol in my life. Everything he did, and he was considered, people consider him a precious child because he was a miracle baby. But we soon forgot that it was God who did the miracle. And I remember when his father took him, went through a crazy divorce, was all over the news. It was something just horrible. And he was gone. My son was gone. And people were freaking out. I was crying. It was just like, you know, your child is gone, taken, never to be seen again. And it was like somebody had ripped out my heart. And in all that pain, the Lord says something to me that might seem cruel, but He said it for a purpose. He stopped me from crying and He said, you are my child first, and you need to line up with me. But know this, I am in control of this. He's in my hands, in my care. In the meantime, you get your act together. Some people would say that that's kind of cold of God. No, He put in perspective for me. The child was moved for a purpose. And then the Lord later told me, I'm raising him up to be a prophet. And He didn't have to say anymore, because I know how hard a life is for a real prophet. And He says, you got to step back, let him go. And trust me, and that's been too many years. As I said, he's 21. He was 3 the last time I saw him, and I let him go. Never turned back. But I had lots of ridicule from my family, bad talk from my friends. I had to cut people loose. You're a bad mother. You're not good. If you were a real mother, you'd chase after him. If you were a real mother, you'd do all your power. You don't love him. You never. I had to shut them people out of my life. I'm sorry, I had to shut my family out. And then to find out later, some of them told me, well, we were waiting for you to be locked up in the nut house. I'm like, is there a wonder why I don't hang with you all? You go to church, but you have no faith. You don't know how to live on the word. You don't know how to stand on the word. And yet it's the very word that sustains my every life. It's the only reason I can step forward and walk away from a situation, which was a painful situation, is because I had a word from God. Not only did I have a word with God, I told him, I said, Lord, I will obey you. I will follow you. If you can promise me the safety of my child. He says, do whatever I tell you to do. You and your child will be safe. And I said, okay, I'll do that. I said, but I got this pain. And mothers, you need to hear this. I had such pain in my heart. I said, Lord, I will obey you, but what do I do with this pain? I can't move forward with this pain. It's crippling pain. And he said, I'll take it from you. And it was like an instant, a hand came out of heaven, went and covered my heart. And a peace came over my heart. Yeah, my head still remembered all the ugly incidents and the death threats and the police and the attorneys going crazy. But my heart was secure in the hands of God. And he says, now I want you to follow me and I'll teach you some things. He said, because a lot of this happened because of the seeds that you sowed with your life. He said, but if you follow me, I'll make sure those seeds don't come up the way they would have had you been disobedient. He says, and then I'll teach you lessons that you can teach others. So this particular one, ladies and gentlemen, I can talk to you from my personal experience. Being separated from family, being separated from a lot of family, not only my natural family, but also my church family. Love my pastor, member of Crenshaw Christian Center. I've been separated from them for a long time. Not because I want to, but I can't go back. I was asked to leave by one of the pastors and told never to return. That hurt me because people know Apostle Fred and Dr. Betty are the sweetest, most loving people in the whole world. And every time I saw them, I would tell them that. I love you. I love you. I love you. But there were some jealousies arising. Some people came after me, threatened my life, threatened me because they thought I was trying to get close to him. No, I'm passing through. When the Lord called me, he said, I'm going to send you out like I did the first apostles. So don't try to set up shop anywhere. Follow me. So he sends me one place to another, to one city to another. And I always went back to see Dr. Fred, gave him a report, and then took off, went somewhere else. And that's been the story of my life. And if you've been following me for the last, this is probably the most stable I've been in one place in the last few years, because I was headed to Europe and he told me to go to New York. I was in New York and then he said, I need you in Ohio. So I've been here, I've been doing things from here, and he's telling me now, get ready to, Woo, I just heard that. You get ready to shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. So this is what I do. So being going from place to place, he says, get ready. You're getting ready to move even more. So I'm always going somewhere. So there's really no place for me to have settled down to be in a place that I really call home. It's like, for me, home is anywhere I go, anywhere that God places me for whatever period of time. But I miss Dr. Fred. I miss Dr. Betty. I miss Pastor RG. I miss all the old crew that were there, that were loving support for me all these times. But they knew, she's flying in, she's flying out. She's going in, she's going out. And as I said, it's like John the Baptist in the wilderness. I'm eating locusts and wild honey, and I'm not really wearing leather in any loincloth or whatever he had back then. But fairly close. I'm working 24/7 in prayer. I'm doing things he's told me to do. So it's not a social time. It's a time, a preparation for the things and where we're getting ready to go. So people, it's a hard message, but it's a necessary message. God wanted me to share with you today. And imagine, Jesus went through this. What did he say? You're going to be like your master. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they tried to kill me, they're going to try to kill you. So just know, when you are being loyal, there are always going to be people in the body who don't discern the body. Remember, it was the church who put Jesus up on trial to be killed. Most times when something happens, it's always the church putting someone up to be sacrificed and be killed for the sake of their positions. That's just the way it is. But don't let that sway you. Be faithful to the end. Endure whatever comes your way. The Lord is getting ready to raise up people who he's going to publicly reward for their faithfulness. And how he showed to me was, if people are talking about you, if they're coming at you, if they're threatening at you, they're threatening you at this hour, keep looking up, keep looking forward. Don't worry about it. The Lord showed rockets. I saw rockets taking off. And have you ever seen the rockets take off, the U.S. rockets take off? It's an amazing thing to see. I haven't seen one in a while. But what used to happen was, it would be connected to a base. But once that rocket took off, it was like a big combustible poof, and everything fell apart. Everything burned up. And it was gone. And the Lord said, in this hour, that's exactly how it's going to be for those who are faithful. Anyone who's holding on to you, anyone who will not let you go, anyone who's trying to pull you away from the plan of God cannot do it. If you remain faithful, God will take care of them. Now you can't look back and see what happens to them. You have to move forward and trust God to take care of it. Because some people we're going to lose. Some people just will not hear God. And that's why he gave me this message. They're not going to discern the body. They see you as their little child or somebody that they want. Don't worry about them. Keep praying for them. But you move forward and stay focused, because you will be that rocket that takes off. And once you take off, you're going to soar into the things of God. Everything else is going to burn off, let you go. That is a word from the Lord today. As I said, it's a hard word, but it's a necessary word in this hour. And I thank God that we have ears to hear. I thank God that he speaks to us the truth. And we thank you, Lord, that we will remain in that truth. And it's the truth that we know that will make us free, free of condemnation, free of guilt, free of the oppression that tries to take us down, that we can walk in the full liberty of the kingdom and the life that Christ came to give us. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time, God bless you.